Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes, and it'll help us make Twit even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a beautiful website. Plus, with the developer platform, you can customize the code behind any Squarespace design. Enter offer code About Android, get 10% off. Squarespace, you should. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by LegalZoom. Get your life organized today with an estate plan bundle at LegalZoom.com. Whether you need a will or a trust, since they're not a law firm, you work with an independent attorney, available in most states, to find a plan that best fits your needs. Enter AAA in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com. Hello, welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 253, recorded on Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
What's up?
In an undisclosed location.
Yeah. Not here, Flo. What's that all about?
No, I'm not. I'm very sad about that.
Yeah, we are too.
Especially because I won't see you guys next week.
I know. Oh. You're mere moments away from getting on a plane and jetting off to Spain.
It's true. Barcelona.
And we've already decided that you're packing up some jamon and bringing it back with you, so that's good.
Yeah. I'm already sneaking that back.
I do not want you back in the country unless you've got an entire piece of luggage filled with Spanish ham.
I also found a nice chocolate shop. Maybe I can find something for you guys there.
Okay.
So
maybe a chocolate-covered ham.
Did my research this weekend.
Yeah, chocolate-covered ham will be gladly welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll keep that in mind.
Make it happen. You know, they do things a little differently over in Spain. You never know what you're going to get.
I can't do a Spanish accent. I don't know. I don't do accents. Why would I even do that? I don't know.
Don't even go there. We are welcoming back to the show Eric Ravenscraft of lifehacker.com. How's it going, Eric?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely.
Welcome
it's
back.
Great to get you back. What are some of the cool things you've been working on lately?
Cool things? I'm not so sure. I had to write about the Supreme Court, but that is not interesting to this audience at all.
It's cool to somebody.
At least three people.
Well,
I'm sure.
I mean, yeah, that's got to be one of those. Well, I guess I don't know what it's like to be in your position when you get a story like that, but yeah. I don't know. I know if I was in that position, I might begrudgingly write it, but I think I'd probably learn something about
sure.
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you totally learn something when you write about politics, more than when you were in middle school, at least.
Right. It's great to have you here to talk not about politics.
Thankfully.
Might come up tangentially, but more so about Android. We've got a lot to talk about. The slow transition to Marshmallow for some OEMs. The next bit, Robin, which one of us has and the rest of us are jealous about. That person. Flo does. Thumbs up from Flo. And a Mobile World Congress rumor roundup. We're going to kind of check in on some of the rumors that have been bubbling up since it's right around the corner, and a whole lot more.
Before you throw to the news, I just realized we missed an opportunity. As Uh-oh. Opposed to slow transition to Marshmallow, it could have been the slow roll to Marshmallow.
The slow roll to...
It kind of rhymes.
Yeah, not
slow
enough,
roll,
though.
Ron.
Not enough, though.
The slow roll out.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Let's go to news.
It doesn't. I don't know. Maybe Brian can do something with
Brian,
it.
Brian, save me.
Let's go to the news.
An attempt was made.
Yes. That could be classified as an attempt.
You may not be able to go to Barcelona, but you can go with us to Android News. Adios.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. The slow roll.
I wasn't ready for that roll.
Yeah, roll. I understand. Neither was I. But hey, I've been saying
marshmallow. Marshmallow.
You can keep working on it. I'm not. Although this is the story that it's tied to, so you'll have plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, there you go.
Over the weekend, Samsung's Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge devices began the update, the official update to Marshmallow. Users, of course, are criticizing Samsung for taking 4 months to release the update to its flagship devices. This always seems to be the case. It finally happens, and suddenly I feel like I'm flying through space. Where it happens, where the update finally hits, particularly for an OEM like Samsung, which is, you know, arguably the most dominant Android OEM right now, and this is their flagship, is 4 months too long. What do we think?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Too long. It should have been sooner. And you know what? I haven't even checked to see if I got it on my Verizon variant of the Edge.
I don't think that you have. I don't think that it's coming to the carrier
ones. Probably not, because Verizon's always so behind on those updates. Yeah. It's like so frustrating. But didn't LG and Motorola like have this already? They've already had Marshmallow on their devices. What's going on? Why did it take so long? You know why? It's because there's so many other features they have to account for on those Samsung phones.
Samsung did not come out, correct me if I'm wrong, did not come out with any sort of promises when Marshmallow started rolling out.
Nine.
Some of the other OEMs did, and they said this is when it's going to happen by. Yeah. At least they held themselves accountable to something. Yeah. I don't know, Eric, what do you think about all this?
I mean, I wish Android updates happened faster, but I kind of gave up caring about whether or not my phone got updated quickly. Partially because I got a Moto X and now a Nexus 6P, so what do I care?
Right.
Yeah.
But I got the Marshmallow update on my Nexus 6 or my Moto X rather, and it didn't change anything for me. So I don't know what people are upset about, what they're missing rather.
Granular application features, application permissions, Doze mode, app standby. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff under the hood that I think Marshmallow brings that people are missing out on. I don't know if it means that they're going to use them, but
they're missing out on it. But I guess for me, it wasn't a revelation or a change in how I use my phone. Like some of the features, like the app permissions, still have to be updated by the apps themselves. So only a few of the apps I use are even using that feature.
Mm-hmm.
Now on Tap was the big headlining feature, and I have yet to use that since the first week I got it.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't use it either.
Me too.
I just don't use it.
It's just kind of hidden enough for me to not think about it ever.
I don't need that much context on everything I'm doing. Like, I'm okay. I'm just okay with the context I'm getting.
Yeah,
I wanted it to be better.
You know, yeah. I mean, I think a big part of this is just knowing that you don't have the latest. You know what I mean? Like, It's definitely easy for us to be like, oh, whatever, no big deal. You know, we're playing with all these devices. We're used to seeing Marshmallow on our devices, whether it's on our particular device or it's not. We have a device that's probably on in some way, shape, or form, and we've experienced either the revolutionary things it does or does not do. Yeah. But to people who have never seen it before and they have their device and they have a certain budget for their device and they have expectations beyond that, right? Like, I think that's a big part of it here is that when you buy Samsung's latest and greatest flagship device, you hope that at the very least, you know, when an update happens, you get it somewhat soon. Now, I guess we're kind of splitting hairs because 4 months is not that much longer than 2 months, which is what some of the other phones got their update.
But Jason, it's like the biggest device in the Android sphere. It should have had Marshmallow from the beginning. It's not even about just having those Marshmallow features. It's the fact that an OEM as huge as Samsung, like, why is this taking so long? Why was there a delay? And then we have to wait for all these carriers who rely on these Samsung phones, who rely on these phones getting sold so they can make commission, essentially. I mean,
right.
And I think the question of why did it take so long this time around, I think given the context of previous, so the last update, version 5 or 5.11 or whatnot, Samsung had the update rolled out 31 days after Google released the OS. So it's not like they can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are able to roll it out quicker. And so what was it about either Marshmallow or the Samsung S6 line that made it go this long? You know, because clearly, I mean, we've seen what happens when stuff gets rolled out before it's ready. The last thing you want is
last thing you want is a buggy release.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know that there's some poor QA manager in where's Samsung? Korea? Korea. Korea, who's just sitting there going, nope, not approved. Nope, not approved. And they're just, and the marketing people are dying because they're like, oh, just get it out, you know? So, but you got, at the end of the day, you got to wait 4 months. You're thankful for that QA manager because that means your phone won't brick or won't have problems or won't, you know, whatever. But it's why other manufacturers were able to roll it out, why Google can roll it out as quickly as they can and Samsung hasn't, I think does deserve to be answered.
Ron, you just made a really interesting point there. You were saying marketing managers freaking out.
Yeah.
I don't actually know that Samsung's ever really made a big deal about the software version that they're on.
That's a good
on their
point.
Phones.
Yeah.
They always make a really big deal about the features that come, you know, bundled with it, like camera or whatever, but never about, hey, this has the latest version of Android. It's not like Moto, for instance, who used that as kind of a leverage.
Right.
Hey, you should buy us.
Well, and I would imagine that down the line, too, the like Verizon and AT&T, the carriers, they want to advertise that as well because that's a selling point, whether or not they're communicating that back to Samsung or not. So,
If I was an OEM or a carrier and it wasn't except for Motorola, I wouldn't advertise the Android version at all because I know how long this takes. Even like behind the scenes, they have to go between the manufacturer, the carrier, the FCC, I think, has to have an input in there. HTC released a whole big infographic about this a while back.
Right.
It's like five different companies that have to sign off on this thing, which like that whole stack there is a problem, not just for, you know, Marshmallow, but security patches. When Stage Fright happened, they couldn't get updates very quickly. Like there's something fundamentally wrong about the way Android updates are distributed, not just Samsung's one phone.
Well, they changed the security updates. They changed that exponentially over the summer. That's not really a concern of mine anymore because people are getting their security updates, at least with the latest versions. But it's more of just an annoyance of having such a huge OEM holding back on such a, you know, big operating system release.
Well, and but I think also all those layers that they need to go through are really that's something the customer doesn't need to. I mean, like, it's weird because the customer needs to know because that's what's causing the delay and that justifies and explains it. But at the same time, you don't have to, like, I don't care who makes the tire, just put it on my car.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need to know about the vulcanization process and then you need to get the EPA to approve it and yada, yada. I mean, but this HTC infographic, Brian, if we could put it up.
I just added it under the main link.
It's really fascinating, but, like, you can't expect the majority. I mean, you can only expect a very, very small minority of people to
They did it for their fans.
Yeah.
There were a lot of HTC fans tweeting them and just being like, where's my update? And they were like, here's what goes into an update. People.
All right. We made an infographic
It's a great infographic, too. I mean, it looks great. I mean, it's a great representation of what happens in the
complexity of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
I mean, it just kind of illustrates what we talked about plenty of times on this show, which is that this is an issue that is deeper than the hardware manufacturers.
Yep.
It's deeper than the carriers. It's really kind of at the core of Android as a platform, how difficult it is to make these changes and still kind of clear, you know, all of these other obstacles. There must be some way to – and this is not an easy change, but there must be some way to – either, you know, build Android from the ground up, which
you
we've
can't,
also
which you can't.
Yeah, well, we've also heard that Android is or that Google is possibly doing that. Who knows? Maybe they tackle this at some point, and until then, we still
Alphabet.
Just kind of see this. Yeah,
sources inside Alphabet.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, but the thing is also, I mean, what to put this into context, I like to let's look across the street, look at our friends in Cupertino. They haven't had smooth updates. I mean, remember. Which iOS version was it?
No.
Was it 5 or whatever with all – that was just like destroyed phones?
That
like
slowed
it,
down older
phones.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like all the problems. So like this is a very, very complex process. It's basically, you know, like I'm horrified every time I need to update the OS on my machine. Like I still haven't installed El Capitan on my desktop.
Oh, my gosh. Me either.
Yeah.
High five.
And yeah, exactly. And the little one is over in the App Store like icon telling me I need to upgrade it, and it's like looks at me
every night. Does it remind you every night?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I know what you're talking
about.
But
so it's. I mean, and back when I was on Windows, I remember moving up the versions until the point where you just stopped because Windows sucked.
Windows is nice though. It updates automatically every Tuesday for me.
Oh,
I just wake up and it's like I've been updated.
Yeah. I'm fancy.
Mine doesn't sing to me. What do I turn that on?
You don't have the singing version. That's why
you don't have the song Dance Cortana. Yeah. You need
But I mean, this is a complex thing, and I think every time we have this rollout, there's going to be somebody who's in the hot seat, and this is Samsung's turn.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Samsung's used to being in the hot seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they don't care because they make a crap ton of money.
Oh, yeah. That's probably part of why it doesn't really matter.
But, exactly. But, it's like, whatever, y'all. We still got the best smartphones. Mm-hmm. Relatively.
Yeah, that's
relatively speaking, y'all.
Well, relatively speaking of the hot seat and Windows, Microsoft is one of my favorite stories to talk about in terms of Android-related news because basically they gave up on Windows Mobile and focused on Android development, which I think is a genius idea. And in fact, they just announced that they've got 74 hardware partners in 25 countries who include Microsoft apps on their devices out of the box. So, and the big news is that Acer now has joined, as a manufacturer, has joined this list. Samsung and Cyanogen have been coming out of the box with Microsoft applications on phones as of last year. And, you know, we're looking at apps that are like the very excellent Outlook, Word, Excel, OneDrive, Skype. You know, it's a great suite of apps that we all use, whether we like or dislike Microsoft. These are apps that have been part of our ecosystem for years. And I love the Trojan horse approach that Microsoft now has taken, saying, okay, we're not going to win on the OS level, so let's just go where there's the most opportunity to Android and do really great work and do really great development. And that's what they've done. And now it's reaching people. And I think it's fascinating
to
watch.
And force their apps on certain manufacturers' devices.
Well, yeah. That's the deal.
Like Samsung.
Right.
And I believe Acer's doing the same.
Yeah. This announcement, is that Acer is one of the 74 hardware partners that are doing it in over 25 countries. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, whether or not, I mean, that's just an OEM deal. I mean, you're going to get bloatware in some degree, but what's the difference between me getting a Nexus phone with Sheets and Docs and all this sort of stuff versus getting a Samsung phone with Word and whatever? It's, you know.
And I'd much rather use, I mean, I'm sorry, Googs, but I'd much rather use the Microsoft equivalents because they're just better. I just like, they have more features, more granular controls, and I'm just used to the interfaces and, you know.
Yeah.
Do you use a lot of these Microsoft, like, Office suite on your Android devices?
I am obsessed with OneNote.
Oh, okay.
Especially now, I'm so glad. Yeah, I got back into OneNote, ditched Evernote, and I'm just all about OneNote now. And I love to use it on the tablet. I'll, like, hook it up to a Bluetooth keyboard and just, like, write in bed or whatever. Yeah. So.
How about you, Eric? What does your Microsoft app penetration look like?
I don't actually use the Office apps, but my AppArena suggestion today is one of the Microsoft Garage apps, actually.
The Garage is awesome.
I love what Microsoft is doing with their app development. They've gone like headfirst into Android, and they've come out with some like really great unique apps that most developers haven't caught on to yet, or like you said, the Office ones that are... I don't particularly need Office, but I know tons of people who would rather have that pre-installed than Docs or Sheets.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that Microsoft's going this direction.
Yeah,
and Google some competition.
Yeah, I think giving Google some competition, taking applications that are known and trusted in the Office environment, and then making Android specific versions that are celebrated, that are great. I mean, like I've had friends tell me how great Outlook is as an email client and that I should be using it. Like other people, not total techie people who are like, yeah, I download Outlook and it's great. And so, you know, but then on top of that, we've got what they're doing with Garage where I know I've brought several Garage apps into the arena.
Yeah. It's gotten to the point to where a new Garage app is released and I always take a look and always install it and check it out. You know, they're doing interesting things around their Project Oxford, which is kind of like their emotion kind of AI, all that kind of stuff to, you know, integrate into alarm clock apps of all things, you know, but it's very interesting. They're thinking
Microsoft
outside the box.
Microsoft is so cool. Like, no, it really is. And they don't get, I feel like just because they built most of their business on being like the desktop PC, I feel like the average consumer doesn't realize how powerful and how much innovation they really do in the tech sector. And I have so much respect for Microsoft as a company. I really do.
Agreed.
I look forward to seeing what they come up with.
In specific, you know, and particularly Microsoft right now is cool. Because,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like
there was a lull.
Yeah, there absolutely was. And there's kind of there's been a modern shift the past couple of years, let's say, where Microsoft's really kind of turned around their company reputation, which I think is very difficult for a brand that struck gold for, you know, for so long ago in this space to kind of reinvent itself. It's the kind of thing that, you know, a company like Apple wishes it could do. Or sorry, not Apple, Yahoo. Not Apple.
Oh, Yahoo,
Yahoo
for sure.
Wishes it could do. And can't. By the way, today has been the day of me saying the wrong word, but
it's
I think something
one,
else.
That's one.
Yeah, that's one for this show.
Track. Yeah, so there you go.
And I need
a
running
tally for the day. Did you see the video circulating this weekend of the Windows 95 launch?
No.
Oh, geez.
It's funny. It's
great story, Flo.
Palmer and Bill
story,
Flo. Like,
tell it again.
To the Rolling Stones, like "Stop Me Up."
Okay. I lived that, Flo. In fact, I remember waiting very intently for my my Windows 95 install CD to come. It was a very exciting time. It was amazing. It was going from Windows 3.1.1, Windows for Workgroups. Windows 95 was a sea change. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. So
Windows has a place in your heart.
Nice, not anymore, but it does. So,
oh, there we go.
As a young bomber. Yeah. Yep.
Woo!
There you go.
Microsoft is cool.
Yep. Well, good job, Microsoft. Way to reinvent yourself. So, yes. And glad to see they're getting support from hardware manufacturers. And that, and by the way, make no bones about it. These 74 hardware in 25 countries, they are writing lots of checks to make this happen.
Oh,
like they're committed to it. It's not Samsung or Acer isn't going, yeah, sure, we like your apps, put them on. It's like, no, Microsoft is buying their way onto those devices, but that's fine. So,
they can afford
Speaking of buying your way onto a device, this segue has nothing to do with what we're talking about next, but we've got a reader email.
A reader email.
Viewer email.
Listener. Viewer.
Listener. I'm sorry. It's because I write text and do video.
You write text?
Sorry, Nick. Nick from London wrote in, just thought I would drop you a quick note to counter the story on this week's, or I guess last week's episode, who couldn't keep a phone. Oh, no. On the episode where we had the viewer who couldn't keep a phone for more than 14 months.
Right.
I wanted to let you know I retired my Nexus One late last year. I had not really been using it much as I have an iPhone from work.
Boo.
Apart from the flash, everything else was still functioning, so I put it to use as a Wi-Fi only device running an NTP sync app and night clock app. So it just sits by the bed glowing the time in red fake 7 seg LED. I suppose I have to apologize for contributing to the old Android stats running version 2.3 on CyanogenMod, but at least I kept my Nexus 7 up to date. Keep up the good work, everyone. Love the show.
Are you downloading new apps on that? Otherwise, you might not be. Although, if those apps that you have are automatically updating, then that's probably checking in. So, you might be the enemy right now.
You might be one of the problems. But hey, way to get your money's worth out of a Nexus One.
Seriously.
I know, right?
Yeah. Stopped using a Nexus One last year.
That's like, crazy.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Any phone that can last that long is an awesome phone.
That's a great phone.
It was a great phone.
It's a great phone. I wonder where mine is. I love that phone.
Yeah. I didn't actually have one. But.
Yeah, I did. Oh, it was great. That was our last rollerball one. Mm-hmm. Rollerball was great.
Rest in peace.
I saw the Nexus One before it was announced.
Ooh.
And I tweeted about it, and I ended up getting articles written about it.
Look at you.
That was actually right before I started doing the Android show at CNET. And I was like, I should do this.
Look at that.
It was the Google phone. I spotted the Google phone at dinner, and it was like a big deal. And I was like, can I see it? And he let me play around with it. Yeah. And I didn't tell him. Yes.
You didn't tell him that you were a reporter?
I didn't tell him at first exactly like what I did for CNET.
Oh,
and then when I told him, he was like, and I was like, can I do anything with this? He's like, as long as you don't say my name. So I tweeted out.
That was one of the main plot of The Good Wife this week.
Oh, was it?
Was a guy found the Google equivalent company, ChumHum, found their new tablet. And tweeted about it, and it was a whole big thing. It was one of those, like, found the device in the bar kind of stories.
And I love that you watched The Good Wife.
Best show on TV. Most morally ambiguous show on TV.
Yeah, I just
It's great.
That.
All right. Let's do an ad.
Yes. Let's do that. Now I'm.
Were you just Googling yourself?
I wanted to find the article.
I caught Jason Howe Googling himself.
I found it. It's TechCrunch.
Live on the show. Live on the show, Jason is just vanity searching.
I forgot about the article until just now.
What is everyone saying about me these days?
Shut up, Ron.
Let's pull up the article. You found it. Let's see it.
I found one of them.
Yeah, let's see it.
Brian, let's see this article. It's in the chat.
Relive your past, Jason.
And that's in the doc.
There we go. The link's in there.
All right, to our audio listeners, Jason is vanity searching himself.
This was my favorite part of this article. Because I worked for CNET at the time, and I was doing video stuff. And if you scroll down to the very bottom of what you can see there, Brian, it says, another guy, Jason Howell, says he had his hands on the device, which he says is made by HTC, running Android 2.1. Quote, the new Google phone runs on HTC hardware. I saw it with Android 2.1. Home screen has new visual enhancements like animated desktop wallpaper. Supposedly, Google employees were given tons of these phones today. Unlocked.
Oh, did you miss
this is like my...
Did you misspell privileged in your first tweet?
Probably.
Aww. Look at that. I saw it with the Android 2.1 home screen.
Yeah. I felt so, it was so awesome when this article happened.
That was cool.
Anyways, why are we here?
All what Reagan. Am
I
doing?
Why did I do that? All right. Why did I search that? Sorry, Ron. Sorry, right. Show. Let's do an ad.
Let's do it.
All right. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the simplest way to create a beautiful website, plus the developer platform that you can customize the code behind any Squarespace design. You can enter offer code about Android and get 10% off. I'm going to tell you all about like what that actually gives you. It allows you to create a beautiful professional website, simple cover page, perfect portfolio, professional blog, all that kind of stuff. It gives you the kind of the tools you need to get started. You can work with their templates, expand it out, and make it your own. Your site looks professionally designed. If you don't want to code, you don't have to. There's no coding required. And there's just a ton of settings, fonts, colors, page configurations, all that kind of stuff that if you do want to go in and tweak it to no end, you can. Every Squarespace website can be made to look unique, just a few clicks. Plus, if you want to get super geeky and into the weeds, you can with the developer platform. Like I said, you get full control over your site's HTML, CSS, JavaScript, give access to the JSON API to output your content from the CMS. You can start with one of just tons of awesome templates that Squarespace has. And when you start scanning through, you kind of realize their templates are really kind of formatted for to be ideal for certain things. There's templates that are good for musicians. There's templates that are good for somebody who wants to start a site to sell product, you know, to sell hardware or clothes or whatever you happen to have. And they're just great starting point templates, just kind of like the base template. And then you can expand it out however you want from there. Now, once you register as a developer and you flip the developer toggle, you can use SFTP or Git and you can start coding right away. Squarespace's mobile basically is kind of built into the experience. So everything is designed to be responsive. So if you've got a large screen all the way down to your phone screen, your site is going to look awesome on whatever device that you happen to be loading it on. And you get a free custom domain with an annual purchase. If you are interested in kind of the commerce side of things, you want to sell stuff through your website, you can. Squarespace Commerce is the only platform that lets you create, manage, and brand your store in just awesome ways, as you can see here. They have a basic plan as well as an advanced plan with features for your growing business. And they have incredible 24/7 customer support. I've had a couple of Squarespace sites over the years. I have one right now, yellowgoldmusic.com. Love it. I used one of their music templates and I just kind of tweaked it to fit it around what I needed it to do. And that's just one way that you can customize your site. And you should definitely check it out for yourself and find one that speaks to you and then make it your own. Start your free trial at squarespace.com. Make sure you use the promo code aboutandroid to get 10% off and you'll show your support for the show. That is squarespace.com, promo code aboutandroid for 10% off. We thank Squarespace for their support. Squarespace, you should. All right, I'm really interested in this hardware block because Flo's got some interesting hardware, so let's do it, Brian.
I feel like this is an important chapter in the what phone will Ron get next, considering that I have a Nexbit Robin on order that as soon as it ships to Kickstarter backers, then it will be turned around thanks to the generosity of one of our listeners who sold me his.
Does it look? Will it look like that?
I believe it's the midnight blue edition. It's not the mint version, okay. Which is fine. But so Flo, please tell me all about the Robin as much as you can.
USB-C.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's got here on the right side. I'm so sorry I have to do this through webcam, everyone. But it's got a fingerprint scanner embedded into the home button. And the way it works is you have to press it once and then you scan your finger.
How does that work? How does that interface work? Is it good or is it?
So it works like this.
Well, not how it works. I mean, does it work well?
Yes.
Okay,
that
great.
Was fast.
Cool. Yeah.
Just kind of press it. You kind of just press it and hold it. Kind of press and hold your thumb. My only issue is that I feel like left-handers, you guys might have to get used to using your index or middle finger.
Or they can
fingerprint.
Or they can adjust and start using their right hand like they're supposed to.
Don't listen to Ron. It's okay if you're left-handed. We still love you. These speakers are badass, by the way. They are awesome. They look like tiny little speakers, which they are. They are tiny little speakers, but they have woofers in them. And
woofers? Is this some kind of new audio technology?
I was pretty surprised how loud they could get. Huh. Well, subwoofers, that's what I meant to say. I was just trying to be cute. We've got dual LED flash on the back. Over here, let's see if I can do this. Over here on the back, you have this little cloud, and you can't see it through the webcam, but there are actually like four little LED dots underneath it. And it works a little bit like the battery monitor on the MacBook Air, and it'll show you how much cloud storage you have left when it's doing that little thing, when it's backing up. I have the Robin to back up to the cloud only when I plug it in and only when it's on Wi-Fi. So it just does its thing every night. So that way it's not interfering during the day. Anything else you guys want to know about it?
How's the performance?
I cannot comment on the performance at this time.
But stay tuned for flows. But
stay tuned for more.
Honoring an embargo.
I cannot comment on the performance. But
how does it feel? How's the phone feel?
I really do like the way it feels. It's very light. I thought that these sharp edges would be really annoying, but they're not. It's very comfortable to hold two-handed like this. Look, it looks nice and natural, too. It's very comfortable. Here's the smart storage screen, if you guys can see that at all. I might have to turn down. Actually, let me turn on the
Can you comment on the OS? Or?
Yes. So one thing that I'm just not particularly keen on is the fact that there is no application drawer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're just going to have a home screen that looks like this.
Right.
And you just kind of like cycle.
It's like old iPhone style, right?
Yeah. You just kind of have to cycle through it. And so when you do widgets, you have to like pinch from both sides to get the widgets. And there's like a separate widget screen that comes up, which is kind of, I'm not really into it. I'm not into that. But you have your own little widget screen. It's kind of annoying. I like to have my widgets integrated with the apps because the way I use widgets is I'll just like turn on the phone and then, you know, check on whatever the widget is showing me and then turn it off. But you can't really do that with this.
You have to actively go into like widget mode in order.
Yeah. So what you have to do is I'm going to try and do this backwards.
Yeah, it's not easy to do it like that.
No, I'm sorry that I'm not like there.
Why don't you turn around and hold the phone up?
Okay. So, I know. Hold on. I was unlocking it. So you have to like pinch like this.
Yeah,
and then
it
brings the widgets.
All right.
So you have to pinch on the home screen from either side for both sides at the same time. And that'll bring up the widgets. And then the widgets, you can just cycle through them. So you have like various screens of widgets.
I don't think that's I don't think that's a deal breaker. I think that's just something you need to get used to.
It's not a deal breaker.
You can install
your own launcher and you'll still have access to all the cloud backup functionality, which is great.
So you can install the Google Launcher if you want Google Now and arrange the. Do you get an app draw then? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
but you won't get access to the cool like animations that happen when an app gets uploaded into the cloud or when you're restoring it. When an app is living in the cloud, it is all grayed out, as you might be able to see on here. They kind of look like ghosted icons, and it's very easy to just download them. You just tap on it, That's it. And it just downloads. And then if you want to delete it forever from like the phone and from cloud storage, then you would just drag that little ghost icon to the uninstall setting as you would normally deleting any app.
So you can use an alternate launcher and still have it do the backup stuff.
Yep.
Oh, that's different.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a horse of a different color. I could probably show you with the Google Now launcher.
But you just don't get the animations. That's a lot. And then how do you know what's backed up and what's not?
Yeah, exactly. But I do remember Scott Croyle mentioning that what's happening is that it's actually changing the app icon.
Right.
So it's kind of like graying out and then re-updating the app icon.
Okay, so
that's
this
probably
is what it looks like
seeing
on the Google launcher. Now, I don't know if you guys can
totally.
The apps are grayed out in the Google launcher.
Oh, that's cool that at least gives you that feedback.
Actually, didn't even like try this during my review process. Good job, Flo.
All right. Professional.
If you tap on it in the launcher, it will try to restore it. But the problem is I'm not connected to our Wi-Fi here at the office, so it's not restoring for whatever reason.
So, yeah, that's more than I thought that it was going to be able to do. I was under the impression that if you were using an alternate launcher that you weren't going to have access to the backing up.
I love this.
That's great.
I'm so excited. I love this phone. This phone is cool.
It's a pretty great phone. So far, it's just that there's some things about it that still feel, you know.
Well, it's 1.0. I mean, it's the first one out of the gate, right?
Although, holy crap, I put a lot of apps on this thing. So I literally stuffed this thing with apps. Over the weekend.
How quick is it to pull up a cloud app after you've like it's been backed up and you haven't used it for a while? Like, is it as quick as launching an app that's already downloaded to the phone, or is
no?
There like
it
a
has
lag?
To download it. It has to download it and install it. It takes about, I would say, like a minute or two, depending on your network connection.
But it doesn't have to reinstall it though, right? I mean, it's just basically downloading it and putting it back on your phone.
Yep, that's essentially what it's doing.
Yeah. So it's backing up the installed state of the app, and
it's taking the app off. It's offloading it off the system and putting it up in the cloud,
right?
Along with all the saved states that are associated with it, mm-hmm. and so when it's grayed out, there's 0 bytes.
Right. Yeah. So it's not physically on the phone, but it's not like you have to download it and reinstall it.
Reinstall the APK.
It's going to remember your settings. It remembers. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yep.
But you won't get the grayed out icons on the actual home screen with the Google launcher. Just an FYI.
You won't.
No, you won't.
You'll get it in the drawer, but not on the home screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, but if I'm using the Google Now launcher, I'm arranging my apps myself. I'm not going to put a backed up one on this on there anyway. So
yeah.
Restoring Amazon Shopping, restoring. Okay. You can't pin apps either if you're not on the Nextbit launcher. And by the way, there's no like special name for the operating system or anything. It's just
Nextbit.
Android. Yeah, it's just Android. And it's Android 6.0, which is awesome.
Cool.
Samsung?
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Very good question in the chat room.
A little startup can put Marshmallow on their phone.
How's the camera? Can you not talk about that?
Not yet.
killing me.
In a couple days.
Yeah.
I can tell you offline, though.
Okay.
And check back for her full review.
But anyway. Thanks, Nextbit.
So just for those who may or may not have been aware, this was done through a Kickstarter.
Yep.
Those of you who did not get in on the Kickstarter, it looks like the store is going to be going live on the 18th of February,
yes.
So in a couple of days. $400, I think, is the price for the Nextbit Robin through the store.
That's
so you'll be able to order that.
Yeah, they've been taking pre-orders before. Like I remember in January, there was if you'd ordered by January 15th, you would have gotten in the February group of phones. Anything after that is shipping in March. So they're filling orders as soon as they come in. So if you're interested in this now, you can go put your order in right now. But then it does look like they're opening an official store on February 18th. So maybe the pre-orders have ended now. Yeah. What's today? Today's the 16th.
16th.
Yeah. So just 2 days from now, you can order.
So they had ended the pre-order. They told me at CES they ended the pre-orders because of the Lunar New Year. A lot of people go on vacation in China.
Right.
And so they wanted to get everything out before they wanted to get all the devices made essentially before people went on vacation in Asia, so that's why it was kind of a little stoppage in between. But
All right.
Nice.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to see it in person, and we'll see. Hopefully you get back from Barcelona before I get my phone, although I don't know how the timing will be because I've got to – Yeah, so there's a lot. I got a little logistics involved in getting my hands.
You should
on my
do
phone.
Your own little like. You should do your own little review. Yeah. Like just kind of take it out and.
My own little review. I'll start. I'll put on my Squarespace blog and I'll.
Yeah.
And you'll start your review with, "Hey guys, what's
hey.
Up?
Hey guys,
so
I'm here.
Can you see my hands as I'm doing it? Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. All right. Well, speaking of the fact that Flo is on the eve of leaving for Barcelona to go to Mobile World Congress. Now starts our official, Brian, I don't know if you want to cue up our rumors bumper.
Oh, yeah, totally. That rumors bumper that we totally made. That
there's no rumors bumper.
No, there's no rumors bumper.
We've got rumors. We've got rumors.
All right, that works.
Here's
oh
some
my God,
rumors. There's some rumors. Okay, cool. Thank you, Brian. There's our rumors bumper. So it seems like we're talking about Samsung nonstop on this episode, and that's because also the Galaxy S7 leaks have begun. It's been leaked the prices, the color options, the battery sizes, all that sort of stuff. So this is what we're looking at here. The Galaxy S7 Edge coming in black, white, and gold. It's going to be a little cheaper this time around. It's going to be about $50 to $100 less. It's a 3,600
not miles per hour battery,
but milliamp battery, which is 1,000 more than the S6. You see the return of the SD card slot.
Wow.
It's going to be running a Snapdragon 820 or an Exynos 8890, depending on your location. IP67 dust water resistant. This has been confirmed on Samsung's site. It's got a 4 gig of RAM. And a fast 1.7 aperture camera. USB-C is still a toss-up. I don't know how that's a toss-up. They're still
because
deciding.
Some rumors are pointing to with or without. So.
Yeah. And possible free Gear VR with pre-orders of S7 devices.
Whoa.
That last one, I'm kind of like, I'll believe it when it happens. But
possible free Gear VR, that's... That's quite a little prize to be getting from the 25-cent machine.
I feel like that statement, possible free Gear VR, like anything's possible.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, it's free if we like can take some of your leg.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
And I would put it past.
Give Samsung a kidney, get a VR, get a Gear VR in the process.
Careful, it might happen. I'm very scared.
So what do we think of this? Are we excited for this S7? I was like, so what?
Oh, well, I don't know. So Eric, I know one of the big criticisms that Samsung got this last time around. Well, they were, you know, people were happy about the design, let's say, but a lot of people were also not very happy about the kind of concessions given to achieve that design. Removable battery, SD card slot. Now, if they return, like, does that make you happy? What do you think?
I know at least a few people who will be happy the SD card is back. Did you say the removable battery is back?
No, I don't know if the removable battery is necessarily back, but the SD card slot, yeah.
Yeah, I know at least some people will be happy about the SD card. I feel like with Samsung, like we can talk all day about what Android nerds are going to care about, but for most people, it's just the Android phone.
Yeah.
It's the Galaxy, you know, the droid that I have in my pocket. So I think it's better than last year's. That 3,600 milliamp battery is to die for. Wow. But aside from that, it's a new Samsung phone. I can't get excited about it anymore.
And the thing that drives me crazy, like looking at the photos, like, oh, by the way, I love that Evleek's retired and yet he's still doing stuff. But
well,
anyway,
now he writes for VentureBeat.
Well, yeah. And he also posts tweets of things, but, I just look at the phone designs. I look at these photos that he posted and stuff like that of these leaks, and I'm not like, especially coming off talking about the Robin, which is a cutting edge design or like a different looking different. Like this just feels like Samsung just feels so tired, and it's just the same thing over and over again. And sure, SD card slot, no SD card slot, bigger battery, not bigger battery. I never get excited by a Samsung phone, and I'm not excited by this.
I don't know the Edge. The Edge still has kind of...
Had a little bit of an edge.
Has a little bit of a thing going for it.
Still not excited by it.
No?
Yeah.
I mean, not from a... I wouldn't necessarily say from a functional standpoint. I don't know how useful the Edge is based on the extra information you get on the side of the Edge. But just the design. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
no.
The design, it looks different. I still like the design of the Edge. I think it's kind of fresh.
Well, I feel like Samsung phone... Sorry, go ahead.
Go for it. Go for it.
I have too much of a lag to tell when I'm interrupting.
No, don't worry.
No worries. Go for it.
I feel like the Samsung phones are like they're like to other Android phones what sitcom reruns are to TV. They're the predictable thing that you can rely on all the time, and it's never going to change or challenge you. But it's not what you go to for cutting edge TV.
So Eric, are you saying that Samsung phones are the Big Bang Theory?
Oh, no, that's just me. Let's at least go with friends. They're friends.
They're friends. I don't know. So, yeah. Well.
All right. And water resistance? That's
good. That's good. Yeah. So, okay. Sound exciting.
Can you get excited about Samsung's 7 days of unboxing?
No.
promotional site where a llama walks into a box and... Supposedly.
Oh, I missed that today because I was like so heads down working. Is it funny at least?
Well, I don't know. Do we want to watch it?
Because I feel like this is something Mateo would get really excited about.
It's a llama. Yeah. You know, it's a. So you go there. Wow, that site's looking a little weird.
Wow.
Yeah, you're getting like a strange
shift refresh.
That's bizarre. Maybe we won't watch the llama walking into a box. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to watch.
What browser are you using, Brian? Jeez.
I'm just using Chrome.
Yeah, that's so weird.
You think Google has it out for Samsung?
I don't know. I don't know, but that's looking a little weird. Maybe we aren't going to watch the llama going in the box.
It's a llama in a box, whatever. Yeah. Let's not encourage them here. Yeah. All right, fine. Watch it on your
own. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it walks into a box. It sees the phone. You don't really know. Oh, and then it goes to a canvas, and the llama paints what it saw. And it's about what you
would expect.
I hope
there's going to be llamas at the Samsung press conference event in Barcelona, because let me tell you.
Anything's possible.
It's going to be stinky if that's the truth, because llamas kind of stink.
Yeah.
I want to know what the next days are going to be, because that was day two and it's 7 days. The first one was a kid. The second one's a llama.
Right.
It's going to get weird.
This is marketing working, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, here we're talking speculating. About, here it comes.
See? So, yep. It's
Cusco.
It is working, isn't it? We're totally like now showing.
Oh, that
it.
Box looks like Oculus's booth at CES, by the way.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It totally does.
It's VR. This is totally VR.
Well, then maybe there will be a Gear VR given with pre-orders. And what do we think the llama's gonna paint as far as what it saw in the box? Personally, I think this is a meme waiting to happen.
Heck no.
Just go ahead and replace the canvas that you see here with anything and upload it to the internet.
Well, that kind of sucks.
Oh, there we go. That's
almost sucks at painting.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Why couldn't they get a more artistic, talented llama?
An elephant.
Jeez.
I'm gonna screen grab that for later.
You work on that, Brian.
This is what he saw.
Yeah.
Anyways.
What else we have?
Oh, man, we totally did it. We totally fed into their marketing. Okay, so other rumors. LG G5. I feel like this has been kind of a anticipated kind of rumory couple of weeks for the LG G5.
Oh, heck yeah, it has been.
So let's see. And Flo, you can kind of fill in the details that I miss here. By the way, it's going to announce on the same day as the Samsung event, which is next Sunday. We're doing live coverage of the Samsung event.
We are.
So Ron and I will be here with Leo Laporte in the morning on Sunday, and next Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, whatever day that is. I don't have a calendar in front of me. The 21st of February at 10 a.m. Pacific. So if you want to listen to us talk about the thing, we'll be there doing that. And that's twit.tv/live. But anyways, LG G5 announcement happened in the same day. And things like Snapdragon 820, always on display, removable battery, SD card slot, fingerprint sensor on the back, as you know, the LG G
as they do
series does. Dual cameras. Many case leaks are pointing to dual cameras on the back. It's kind of like a wider camera,
which
housing.
I'm fine with, by the way.
Really? Okay. Why? Why do you want that?
Because, well, I like the dual front-facing camera thing that LG had going on with the V10. And I mean, I think if they can provide software features that really take advantage of those two components, then why the heck not? Especially if it means better looking photos, like you can get cooler effects or whatever.
I feel like if it means better looking photos, great. Yes. If it means
photos that you can shift focus dynamically after the fact, then I don't care because I'm not ever going to do that.
If it means that you're taking two pictures at the same time or whatever and like molding them together so like the perfect lighting or something ridiculous and amazing like that, then totally. But if it's just so you can be like, 3D effect.
Right. That is to,
lest we forget the Evo 3D.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. Right? If it's true 3D, then yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's another... That's a good point. I don't know whether I want that or not. But, memories. Hey, that might be good for cardboard. I don't
memories.
Know. Yeah, I forgot about that one. And they already announced the quick cover ahead of the unveiling for the phone. So, I don't know. Did I miss anything, Flo?
Not that I mean, always on display.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
That's another buzzword that's going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we excited?
No.
LG G5? Yeah.
Well, what else? Isn't there something else that's going to make an appearance at Mobile World Congress?
Well, they've already kind of shown off ahead of Mobile World Congress the LG Stylus 2.
Yeah.
Not the Stylus 1, but the Stylus 2.
They actually sent out the press release for this. So right. It's totally.
So this is kind of like a thing.
Yeah.
An actual thing. 5.7-inch mid-range compared to the flagship. Integrated stylus. The phone will actually notify you if you've misplaced the stylus, so you don't forget it.
Like, how does the phone know if you've misplaced it?
I don't know
it?
If it means, like, if you set it, if you take it out and it knows that it's been out for a certain amount of time and you're not actively using it, then it says, like, put it back in. Or,
I don't know. Actually a detector to detect if it's in the couch cushion.
NFC, and then, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes.
Just install sensors all over your house.
Yes, the phone ships with 20 sensors that you can place anywhere you like. It doesn't actually. 1.2 gigahertz quad core, 1280p screen, removable 3000 milliamp hour battery, SD card slot, 7.4 millimeters thin, 145 grams, metallic frame.
How much time are we spending on a stylus? This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a stylus.
Oh, God, there's going to be so many phones at MWC.
It's a stylus.
Well, now, wait a minute. No, this is a phone.
This is not a phone. Just,
It's called the LG Stylus 2.
I thought they were announcing the stylus.
No. No, it's the mid-range
device. It's just a stylus.
Device.
That's all it is.
No, it is not.
Why would you call your phone the stylus?
It's
a stylus is already a thing. It's in the phone.
I don't know.
Because it has a stylus.
Yeah.
But that's not...
If it helps, the stylus is called the LG Phone 2. I made that up. That's not true.
Why would you call the phone the stylus if the phone has a stylus?
I don't know.
Why not?
That's like calling a car the seat.
I guess you're kind of right.
It's the new Honda steering wheel. It's like, well, no, it's a car that has a steering wheel.
You're kind of right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
LG, you need some marketing help, some product marketing help right there.
It doesn't bug me. I see where the confusion lies, though. I
thought it was just the stylus.
No. So there we go. Apparently, Ron's not getting the LG Stylus, too.
No.
I think it's time for some other kind of hard...
Where? Sure, let's do it. Hardware, bro.
Is that a toss?
I think so.
Yes, toss.
Oh, boy. This day can't come to an end soon enough. All right, so what do we got here, Flo?
So today, we've got some new news. Actually, this didn't happen today. It's happened a couple of days ago. But Qualcomm announced a new processor for wearables, which is great because I gotta be honest with you here. If I have to write another review about a watch with a Snapdragon 400, I'm going to scream.
Yeah.
It's time for something new here, people.
Agreed.
Which is what Qualcomm is delivering with the Snapdragon Wear 2100. The Wear 2100 is 30% smaller than the 400 and uses 25% less power, which allows for slimmer watches, which is going to be great for ladies like me with tiny little wrists.
Yeah.
That is good, although I'll admit, I have a Moto 360, and it constantly gets caught on door jams, too, so I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, I feel like thinner wearable is good all around, not just for women. Yeah.
This one will also have a new LTE modem as well as Wi-Fi, low power Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically it's the upgrade you need for the SoC for your wearables. And I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to seeing how this processor is in the new wearables, but I'm also hoping that PLED displays and the like get a little bit smaller as well. Smaller and thinner. That's what we need.
Smaller and thinner, but it won't last through the day because that battery is smaller, right?
I take it off the minute I get home anyway. I do that with the fitness band too. I'm the worst. I just don't like having things on my wrist, and I think it's just because of... I think it's just because of the way I move.
Yeah.
Although I am bringing the Honor Band to MWC.
So you won't wear it there?
I am going to wear it because I want to have like my notifications like,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah is yelling at me. Where are you? You know, kind of thing. Right. So
that'll be
interesting. But I don't want to deal with Android Wear because this one, the Honor Band, you can charge, it lasts for like 4 days.
Right. Well, that's a nice little tease for an email later in the show where we talk about wearables. So, But until then, let's thank our next sponsor. We want to thank Blue Apron for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, I am a loyal Blue Apron customer. I love the Blue Apron because here's the thing. You need to know how to cook. Not only will you feel like you know your way around the kitchen, but cooking at home means you eat healthier. And most importantly, you save money. Instead of ordering expensive takeout, you have all the food you need, and you make it yourself. It's so empowering. It's so wonderful. But you got to wonder, where do you start? Blue Apron's got you covered. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers all the fresh ingredients you need to cook home-cooked meals. You just follow their easy step-by-step instructions, and each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. There's no overwhelming trips to the grocery store, no crowds to deal with, looking for parking. I mean, the grocery store is a nightmare. You want to avoid that. Okay. I used to eat so much takeout. I would get so much stuff. The delivery guy knew me. It got to the point where that's how much I was ordering. Not anymore. Now Blue Apron brings me the ingredients I need. I make fantastic meals every night. It doesn't matter what your dietary preferences are. Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like sumac roasted sweet potato and farro salad with pickled onion and hazelnuts, or spicy shrimp spaghetti with cabbage and toasted breadcrumbs. Last night, for example, I made beet linguine with beets. Yeah, like red linguine. It was fantastic.
Nice.
It was wonderful. I had this amazing lamb arrayas, this kind of pita thing with lamb the other night. It was great. It's just each meal is better than the last. And what's awesome is that they've got ingredients that you've never heard of before or might not ever use before, like watermelon radishes, farro, or purple potatoes. And they might seem wacky, but then you make the dish and you're like, wow, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. I would do that again. And what's even cooler is that they, with each batch of ingredients, you get a nice 8.5 by 11 recipe card that lays out all the ingredients, a little information about it, and then each step by step. And what's genius is that they've broken it down into just 6 steps per recipe. It's not, sometimes cooking can be so kind of confusing and ambiguous. They make it very clear. They tell you exactly what to do, and it's so easy, even I can do it. And what's even better is that recipes are between 500 and 700 calories per portion. So not only are they delicious, but they're good for you too. So what you want to do is you want to go to blueapron.com/twit, where you can sign up to get your first 2 meals for free. That's 2 free meals. How can you turn that down? So go to blueapron.com/twit and check out the wonderful meals that they have at Blue Apron. And we thank them for their support of All About Android and for keeping me healthy and fat. No, not fat. I'm
fed.
Fed. There we go. Well fed. So
there we go.
I like to eat. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Me too. Where's my invite for dinner? Jeez.
That's the thing. Is like I make the blue apron thing, and it's like it's 2 portions, and I'm like, oh, all right, I'll have this, and then I'll put it
and
in.
And then
the,
I'll have
it for lunch tomorrow. I'll invite Flo or whatever, and I eat like all of it because it's so delicious. It's wonderful. So.
It is good. It is very, very good.
All right.
Let's do some apps stuff.
Some app stuff.
App stuff. That's my great transition.
It is. So let me tell you about trends and future things. That, you know, we talk about VR and we talk about things like that. One thing that we don't talk about enough, I believe, is location. I think as location. Exactly. A tenant of real estate. as these devices get better and better, locations can get more and more important. And these next 2 stories are gonna highlight that. We were talking a week or two ago about the Google Play Store and how frustrating it can be and how you think that the search giant Google would have a better search within the Google Play Store. Well, maybe they're making some changes because now the new Google Play Store has an option that allows the Play Store to give you search results based off your location. So, for example, if you happen to be in Anaheim and you happen to be, a couple blocks away from Disneyland, the Play Store would recommend the Disneyland app, the official Disneyland app. So the idea of pairing an app to a location is kind of cool. And having that be a recommendation section of the Google Play Store, kind of cool. So
I'm scrolling.
No. Yep. Although every time I walk near a Sephora, it's going to be like, remember this Sephora app? No, forget this. Just go inside and spend money. Because
I feel like that's a very involved use case right there.
Well, yeah. That's...
And
Jace's, my brain all the time.
Jace is looking for recommendations, but I hate to break it to you, but there's nothing in Petaluma.
Is there a...
There's nothing here to recommend.
Come on.
I just, there's nothing. There's
just nothing. They're like, sorry, you should go to the city.
Fine. Just give me a recommendation for something nearby, like Target or I don't know.
Tell him where to go get some good, like, fresh poultry.
I will, how about this? Over the next week, I will randomly take my phone out in various places in San Francisco and see if I get any recommendations.
Okay.
How's that? All right?
I'm very curious to know how, like, useful this would actually be. I mean, I guess you'd have to know enough to, like, open your app and... Right. Take a look and be like, what are you going to tell me to
now? If you go to the mall, you're going to have your phone ringing at you all the time and being like, hey, download like the American Eagle app.
Hang on, Flo. Let me stop right there. These aren't notifications.
Oh, good.
And it's not barking at you. It's rather if you're in the mall and you open up the Google Play Store, it's going to give you location-based recommendations. So no one's yelling at you to go to Sephora. Only you're the only person. Your head is the only one that's yelling at you to go to Sephora. But the thing is, location can be interesting. Like, so for example, in Android Pay, I've got my Walgreens and CVS, you know, kind of their dumb loyalty card program. And when I walk into Walgreens and CVS, it buzzes and says, are you in Walgreens CVS? Here's your card. And then I get 80 cents off of my Snapple that I buy. Like, it's,
that loyalty card's really good, by the way.
Yeah.
Just FYI, I've got a lot of money back from that. Yeah. But if it is like that, I'm excited because.
See? All right.
I love helpful things like that. You're at CVS. Use your membership card.
Yeah. Well, it can be even more helpful.
It can be. The beta version of the latest Chrome for Android now includes support for beacons. So this is a little bit more about kind of what you were talking about initially, Flo. Your phone can get a notification when you come near a beacon out in the real world. Let's say you're at a train station, for example. You might get a beacon with the next train's arrival time. So it would actually kind of buzz a notification to you if you've enabled this, of course, and said, yes, go ahead and do that to kind of let you know, oh, it knows that you're in the train station. So, oh, well, you probably want to know that the next train is in 5 minutes. And we'll just kind of send it right over. This is using Bluetooth. Eddystone, of course, is Google's beacon technology. It was announced at last year's Google I.O. So
beacons of the future, man. Beacons are going to be everywhere. Yep.
So Eric, I'm curious to know if you have experienced beacons, because I know they're out there. Like Apple has some beacons, out and about and has for a little while now. Have you ever encountered any of those?
No, I live in Atlanta. We don't get stuff that fast. I'm really intrigued by it, though, because like ever since someone thought up QR codes and no one paid attention to them, like these have been something that people needed, but they never really worked that well. Like no one downloads a barcode scanner because they saw an ad. But this would actually be really useful if companies can implement them well. I'm just curious if they actually will.
Yeah, that last part is, I think, the trick. Yep. If companies can implement them well and if they aren't just totally and completely noise, at a certain point. Could be useful. Could also be very abused.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with location and using it wisely. But you know, the type of examples of uses of beacons, you know, in terms of, I mean, down to like, have you ever tried to find anything at Home Depot? It's a nightmare. And imagine you pull up the Home Depot app and it tells you exactly where the product is. And there's a beacon in that aisle. And you're,
that would be nice.
You know, or you say you go to Home Depot. I'm like, I'm looking for this. And as you walk through the store, it goes, it's over there. You know, like. That, you know, stuff like that is very cool.
Oh, no.
Oh, IKEA, don't even get me started yet. But yes, that's like the perfect kind of example of where that would be really handy, actually.
But again, I'm really worried about companies taking it and doing the wrong thing with it. Like, I noticed you're near an Auntie Anne's. Would you like to buy some delicious cinnamon sugar covered pretzels?
Those sound
good,
actually.
I noticed you're near Sephora.
I can't resist. It's Sephora.
They can't. They give you free stuff with every purchase. That's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
Speaking of free stuff, Facebook is free, and it's possible it might bring back SMS functionality, which you may or may not remember it used to support back in 2013. doesn't anymore, though. And quite frankly, with Hangouts kind of biting the whatever it is, it's just not really doing what it's supposed to do. Maybe Facebook could finally be the integrated chat and SMS app that we've needed all this time.
Nope.
Or not, because some of us don't really use Facebook all the time.
Nope.
Who knows? Anyway, SMS
function. Ron's a no. I mean, it's funny how like Google takes SMS out of Hangouts, Facebook puts it in Messenger. Like it's like, yeah. I wonder how much of that is like they were planning on doing this anyway, or was this a response? You know, like it's, I don't know.
The Facebook SMS?
Yeah.
You mean if they were planning on it?
Or if they did it in reaction to them pulling it out of Hangouts?
I don't think so. I think they're doing it just because Mark Zuckerberg is all about having Facebook connect everybody in the world. And one of the best ways to do that is through Facebook. So
it just makes you realize what a missed opportunity Hangouts is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it has been historically such a missed opportunity.
We could
for
do
Google,
a whole
man.
Show
they could have
just
done it right.
About,
yep.
Yeah.
And
we could do a whole show just talking about how disappointed we are with Hangouts, because let me tell you, it's not an app that I use anymore. In fact, that brings up an interesting point. So with all this like MWC planning going on, my journal friends and I, we've taken to just having an epic Facebook Messenger thread because Hangouts is so slow on our phones. Mm-hmm. And we're like, don't IM me on Hangouts when you get to Spain. Like, use Facebook Messenger because it's just the more reliable, and having like that separate app is great.
Yeah. By the end of the last year, I had exactly one person who ever used Hangouts to message me. It was my boss, and he left the company, so now Hangouts is dead to me.
There you go. That's how it is.
I finally retired. I only
use it to chat with my fiance, and that's about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. That, you know, me with my wife. So
and that said, I mean, talking about Hangouts in general, at least the web product, the video Hangouts, I use quite often. I mean, that's a great, actually that product has gotten very, very good.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate because you had an opportunity, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this in the arena, but like the whole unified messaging platform, phone, tablet, desktop,
mm-hmm.
you know, text, video, audio, like it could have been amazing, and it could still be. Maybe they're going to come up with something to solve it, but for now, it's not good.
I just don't know if I have faith in Google, the degree that they really need to focus on Hangouts. I feel like if they were going to do that, they would have done that already, and maybe that ship has sailed at this point.
Yeah, I mean, because you just got to look at it from a business opportunity. Why do it?
Yeah, it's so unfortunate. Yeah.
I mean, I still use Skype for video calling. I don't use Hangouts.
That's what just kind of blows me away. It's so splintered. Messaging on mobile is so incredibly splintered. And I guess you don't want everybody's eggs all in the same single basket. But I just feel like, you know, this small group uses this thing. This small group uses this thing. And
yeah,
what you really want is you just want everybody on the same similar platform or platforms that talk to each other. And we just don't have that. And that sucks.
I know. Hey, don't get me started. I think I ranted recently about my Star Trek Vision of the World, where there's just one platform and you message somebody and poop, they pop up and it works. And Skype is not the answer, by the way. Skype, I'm so close to just jettisoning Skype. Because it's so frustrating and annoying and bloaty and slow and like, but
yeah.
Be careful. I'm on Skype. I don't want anything to happen.
No, I know. Yeah. I know.
In the middle of
this. Well, where'd Flo go? Oh, no.
Oh, there she goes.
You had to say it, didn't you, Ron? Jeez.
All right, let's do an email. Our last email, as I teased before, teased earlier, we're talking about wearables and the like, and this comes from Hilton in Virginia. Thanks for writing in, Hilton. He says, he or she, he, Hilton, the guy's name, he?
I believe he.
Says, hi, guys. Love the show. Best podcast ever. Thanks. I do feel like you guys always talk about how Android Wear isn't useful, though. I have an LG LG G Watch R, the Guatcher.
The Guatcher.
That is a big part of my daily routine. If I'm cooking, it's my timer. If I want to take a nap on the couch, it's a quick alarm clock. If I'm driving, I can send text hands-free. And Google Maps navigation shows up on your watch so you don't have to look away from the road. I can use my watch to silence my phone for meetings or find my phone if I leave it somewhere. I work in desktop support for NASA. Oh, good on you. And I walk 4 to 5 miles per day going to see end users. When I'm not supporting end users, I use my watch to control Google Play Music or Dog Catcher playing podcasts like All About Android. I pause when I approach a user and press play as I walk away. I know I'm not the norm, but people like me do exist. I'm also the guy waiting for the 7 to 8 inch phablet so I can walk around looking like I have an 80s boombox when I take a call.
Good for you.
Just like LL Cool J in this photo that I've sent over.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, I would love a phone that big.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I would love
So, and Hilton says, anyway, keep up the good work. You guys bright my day and help us all discover interesting apps. And you're welcome, Hilton. Thank you for the kind words. And yeah, we might be unreasonably hard on Android Wear, and it's great to hear from somebody who is integrated into life and gets a lot of value out of it. That's great. Yeah. That's
great. You guys don't like Wear?
We're a little hard on it.
I like it.
You like it? Do you love it?
I do. I love Wear. I don't love that this hardware has had some problems. It occasionally doesn't pick up voice commands, and it can get a little slow because it was the first Android Wear device. That's going to happen. I had the G1. I know how this works.
Right.
But Wear, the platform, is good, especially after the first couple of updates that added like theater mode and like some quick settings that made it a little easier. I really like Wear as a platform. It does basically everything I need from a watch, which isn't a lot, but right. It's good.
How deep is your usage of Wear?
How deep is your love?
I lost my train of thought. Yeah. So I use Wear primarily for notification triage. Like that's kind of my number one usage for it, and I actually really like it. More often than not, I'm wearing a watch, and that's because I find that very useful. Sometimes for voice commands, but and maybe for an occasional timer, like let's say if I'm at the gym or whatever. But that's really about it. How deep does your usage go? Do you go much deeper than that?
Not much deeper than that. I use it basically every moment of the waking day because I have it paired with my phone for like security. Like it unlocks my phone when I get near it. So that actually got me my phone back in the airport once. I left it at security. And like when you come back to get it, they're like, all right, well, if you have security on your phone, you need to show us your PIN to get in. And I was like, well, actually, I'll just walk right up to it and it unlocks. And then the security lady had to talk to me for a minute.
It's like, that's cool. Like the sword and the stone.
Exactly. So for that reason, I always have it on me and it's always useful in like a backgroundy kind of way. But most days I'm at my desk, so I don't like need to send a message through my watch. I'm at my computer. Yeah. But when I go to conventions, it becomes immediately immensely useful. I'm like walking down the streets of Atlanta from one hotel to the other, and I'm sending messages on my watch, or I'm setting timers because I don't want to pull up my phone every 5 minutes because that drains the battery when I'm using it the most. Mm-hmm. But controlling it from the watch seems to elongate battery life. So I don't use it a ton every day, but the days when I need it, it's a lifesaver.
And that's a great point because my time, so I spent about a year with the watch, you know, wearing it. And what it pointed out to me was how sedentary my life is. That's the thing is that like for a lot of the time period, I'm sitting at home in front of a computer and then I get up and I might get on the bus and go to my office and sit in front of a computer and do that for 4 hours up and go get lunch and come back and sit in front of a computer for another 4 hours. And then, you know, and you think about the use case of somebody who, you know, somebody who's on the road, in this particular case, Hilton, who's walking 4 to 5 miles a day going to users, like, you know, helping desktop support at NASA. Like, he's very active and that's the sort of thing. And I imagine that there are jobs where this kind of device can be a useful tool. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't really need it when I've got every device in front of me and a desk for 8 hours in a row. You know, so that's interesting.
Yeah. Hard to justify for what, $200 entry for most models.
Yeah.
Right.
So we could talk about Android Wear a lot. So I don't know, but let's
interesting stuff. Thanks for writing in, Hilton. Yes. And anyone can send in an email, AAA@twit.tv.
Please do.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts on things. We like that. We actually get a lot of email these days. So
which is great. Keep it coming.
Love that. All right. Hey, let's thank our final sponsor of today's episode. That is LegalZoom.com. I'm a huge fan of LegalZoom. Been a client of LegalZoom for years with my living trust and my will and testament through LegalZoom, which I got done before we had our first daughter. And it was the easiest thing in the world. Before another year passes, take the time to get your own life organized with LegalZoom. If you have a family, if you have assets, or you own property, you should have an estate plan. Don't worry if that sounds complicated, because LegalZoom can help you through all of the complication that may arise through that process. LegalZoom's estate plan bundles totally take out the guesswork, make it easy for you. You don't have to figure out on your own whether a will or a living trust works best for you. Instead, you work with an independent attorney available in most states to help you kind of figure that out. And they make it really easy. They'll walk you through your options, Recommend an estate plan that offers the best solution to fit your specific needs. Now, since LegalZoom is not a law firm, you can count on efficiency, you can count on value. Everything is on your own schedule, on your own terms. Plus, you'll know what your estate plan bundle costs up front. So you're not going to have to kind of worry about hourly rates and that sort of stuff. You know right off the top what you're spending. That's how LegalZoom has become the leader in helping small business owners and families with their legal needs. You get legal help and you walk away feeling great. That's what it's all about. Get your life organized with an estate plan bundle. Go to LegalZoom.com today. Definitely don't forget to enter offer code AAA in the referral box at checkout. That's code AAA at LegalZoom.com. We thank LegalZoom for their support of this show. All right, it's time to battle it out. We're going to duke it out in the arena right now.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Babadook.
Android Arena.
What was that?
It's a movie. I don't know. Don't ask. It's a...
All right, so we are 6 weeks into the year, into 2016, and the current stats as they stand, Jason and Flo are tied with one arena victory.
Is that with this one?
No, that's with this counting, yes.
Okay, right. So I won.
And I guess we should do that. And I am tied with the guests in first place with two arena victories.
Okay.
So Jason just got his first arena victory of the year this week. Mm. Good job.
Mr. Phone came through.
Mr. Phone wins.
I didn't do this alone. I did this with the help of Mr. Phone.
Mr. Phone, 34% of the vote.
Yeah, I got second place.
Woo, Dimly, 26%.
Guides by Lonely Planet, my app, got 21%. And Downwell got 18%. I thought Downwell was going to
be... Downwell was going to be a strong performer.
So did I,
Ron, I'm obsessed with that app, by the way. I totally downloaded it, and I'm going to use it in Barca.
Oh, the Lonely Guys one? Isn't that awesome?
So. Yeah, it's really... God, I love Lonely Planet.
Yep.
I love them. I love you guys. They're out there listening.
All right, so...
That means that you're first.
I go first. All right, then. Yeah. Well, then... we're talking a lot about messaging these days. I've given up on SMS. I haven't given up. I still use it, but I don't like it. I much, much prefer kind of distributed messaging platforms. I use WhatsApp religiously with a lot of my friends, but as we know, WhatsApp was purchased by Facebook, and so who knows what's going to happen there. Also, they haven't really done anything to that app in a very long time. It's not the prettiest app. It's not the best app in the world. It gets the job done. But I was thinking, you know, maybe it's time for an alternative. Maybe it's time. Is there a better option out there? And I believe there is. It's an app called Telegram. You might have heard of it. It's been around for a little while, but it hasn't been on the arena. And basically what Telegram is it is a messaging platform service. Now, one of the things that makes Telegram so great is that it is completely secure. It's backed up with cloud storage so that the Telegram servers are backing up your chats, but also only you can access them. You're authenticated via your cell phone number. So what you do is you set up an account, you give them your cell phone number, and then anytime you want to install a new app or if you want to enable the desktop web app to use the messaging there, they send you a text message where you have to verify a code. So it's, you know, kind of that two-factor authentication authentication to make sure it is secure. But, you know, from a basic standpoint, it is just straight messaging. So, you know, here's a message with Jason. I could say, hey, Jason, and go, and it sends, and there you go. It's pretty simple.
Oh, hey, I got a message from Ron. Who is this Ron guy, this Ron character? Go. Oh, hey, there he is.
Yep. Now, in addition to messaging, what you can do is they do support something called secret messaging. And in fact, I'm going to delete this chat, and I'm going to start a new secret message with Jason. So if you've probably already noticed, complete material design, well-designed material design, I hit that, and I can do new secret chat, and I'm going to choose – I don't look at those people. And I can choose – there's Jason. And what it says here is, you've invited Jason to join a secret chat. Secret chats use end-to-end encryption, leave no trace on our servers, have a self-destruct timer, and do not allow forwarding. So if you want some sort of absolutely secure secret message to go on with someone, this is what you want to do. It is not stored on their server in any way. It is completely encrypted. And then what's even best is that you can hit the hamburger menu and you can say set self-destruct timer, and ranging from a second to a week. So if I wanted to say, hey, listen, this chat is great with Jason, but we're talking about some real secret stuff. It's got to die in an hour. So in 1 hour, this chat will go away and be absolutely destroyed and will not be saved on his phone. It won't be served on my phone, saved on my phone or on the cloud. The timer is ticking. We've got 59 minutes until it goes. but then it also allows you to do, I don't know, if you, maybe you like the little Snapchat and the little naughty texts and little photos and things like that with your significant other. You can set the self-destruct timer for a second.
Let's not demonstrate that part.
Well, no, we won't. Okay. That's it, so. so then what's also interesting is that if you want to start a new chat, you can start a group chat. So, for example, you know, we, you know, me and Jason might have a chat where we talk about Flow all the time, and then we might want to invite Brian into it so he could talk about Flow. So, so what we could do is you could start a group chat that allows groups to have, you know, kind of shared messaging. Flow, similar to what you were saying with Facebook Messenger, you could have all your MWC friends all in a group chat where you're all talking about what you're about your ham and your phones. But then what's even cooler and which borrows a little something from Slack is you can start a channel. So if you wanted to message a lot of people, and in fact they support up to 1,000 people with channels, you can start a channel and it's basically a broadcast messaging system. So this could have great applications if you're a manager and you have, you know, 20 employees, or if you're a school principal and you've got, you know, 150 teachers, something like that, and you want to send out, hey, you know, snow day tomorrow, school's canceled. You do it through that, and it broadcasts out to the population. And it's also got stickers, as you can see here. Is that Freddie Mercury?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So the other thing that I thought was really really strong about Telegram is I give everyone my phone number, is that, and I'm not going to show it because it shows a lot of the details, but the settings were way more detailed and way better organized than WhatsApp. In fact, I'm going to go here in the settings. Yeah, so here we go. So I'm off of my phone. You've got control over your notifications. You can change the background of your chat. You can enable or turn off animations. You're able to specify what happens with media. So you can automatically, you know, you can only do it when connected via Wi-Fi or via data. You can choose whether to autoplay GIFs or not, which is a great feature.
I don't want to put a GIF in here.
You got to attach. You got to have a GIF to attach.
Oh, I see. Yeah. There's, okay.
You know, you can adjust the size of your font. Like, oh, it's totally completely customizable, way more so than WhatsApp. And you know, this is so good that I might be considering moving completely off of WhatsApp to this if I can convince everyone else I chat with to install it.
I'm gonna say it
doesn't work with like other people. It doesn't work people who don't have the app.
Neither does WhatsApp. So you need to be on the platform to use it. But that said, they have, you know, Android version, iOS version, desktop version. Yeah. So that's the other great thing. You can go to web.telegram, whatever type it is, which is something I love because when I'm at work, I don't want to be on my phone all the time. But somebody who messages me, I can be on the desktop client and it totally works seamlessly. So, so there you go. So secure messaging, private messaging, and it looks way a lot nicer than WhatsApp. Material design. It's nice free. Looking. It's secure. It's a great option. So if you're looking for a messaging solution, check out Telegram. There you go.
Sweet. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
The challenge there again is
getting people to use it.
Moving people over, yep. Convincing them that it's a good
Hey guys, remember 4 years ago when I told you how cool WhatsApp was? Let's not use that anymore. Let's use this one.
Why? Because I've got an idea.
Yeah.
cool. So that is Telegram. Check it out. All right. Flo, I've got your app installed. We'll do yours next.
That's me. So I'm leaving tomorrow, as we keep talking about. And going overseas sometimes can be really scary, you know, having to use a different currency and all that. So I wanted to find an app that worked well overseas and can help me just make like conversions on the fly, so I know exactly how much money I am spending while I am overseas. So I found this app called Currency FX Pro. It's by Handy Apps. The pro version, I believe, is, I forgot how much money, but I will look that up in a second. Currency FX Pro, super easy to use. You can, here you see by default has USD to euro. And as we can see, €1 equals, you know, one and, you know, $1, whatever. It shows you a graph of how the currency has been doing overseas. You can choose from favorites, which is really, it's awesome if you plan on going from like country to country. And I also particularly like the news part, because it'll kind of let you know like what's going on in your in currency of the country that you're visiting, which you might want to know if you're bringing your money over there. So, you know, other than that, though, it's pretty bare bones. Other than that, I mean, you can set a theme between light and dark from the settings menu. You can set price alerts in case, I don't know, you're a financial person who really wants to know if the euro is dying or whatever it is that you do with finance. And you can also manage your news alerts. So again, if you're a financial person, kind of need to know what's going on in the finance money world. But I just plan on using this to quickly convert things as I'm shopping in the Gothic Quarter of Barcelona this weekend. Make sure I don't overspend. There is a free version that's ad supported. So if you're just going on a quick trip overseas, you don't have to worry about spending money for it. You can just download the free version. Otherwise, the pro version is, as I am trying to look it up right now in the Google Play Store,
$1.99.
Which I, by the way, paid for this with like my Google survey money, so it was no skin off my back. It's like, so let's see, we'll have something like this.
$99. Let's go ahead and okay, that's only there we go.
£1.39.
Yeah.
So to
what's
speak.
That? I mean, seriously. Cool. See, I can use
simple,
the app to sell.
Simple little utility.
Fantastic. It's called Currency FX Pro. Free version, also $1.99. Pro version, that's what you're seeing here. That is Currency FX Pro. Excellent. All right, Eric. Okay, so I'm going to admit right now, Eric, I tried to install yours, but it's telling me that I don't have any devices that I can install it to. What device are you? Oh, you know what? It was telling me that earlier. Now it's working. No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh. This app is incompatible with all my devices. Why you do this to me, Microsoft? So tell us a little bit about it. I can't install it, unfortunately, on my device.
We can show screenshots, though.
We've got the Play Store stuff. So tell us all about it.
Are you guys able to hear me okay? Because you sound awful to me.
Oh, you sound fine.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then I'm going to keep going.
Go.
So Connections is a contact management app that actually kind of lives on top of your existing contacts. You're able to import contacts into Connections, which, by the way, this is one of Microsoft Garage's apps. So you import contacts into Connections, and you can create notes and reminders about those people. It's geared a little bit towards like people who deal with a lot of clients or customers, but really anyone could use it. So I found it handy when I meet someone at a convention and I need to contact them 6 months later and I have no idea how I met them or anything. So when I write down their contact information the first time, I'll say I'll met them at this convention or this place and I had this reason to talk to them. You can also set reminders. So if you need to talk to someone in 6 months from now, you can have that reminder tied to them. And anytime they text you or call you, your notes will pop up in the app over your phone call to say, hey, this is why they contacted you, or this is what you said you need to remember. So it doesn't replace your contacts app. You can still use, like I use whatever the default Google Contacts app is. You can use that to manage all of your contacts, but this is for the extra information you need for, you know, your connections that aren't like your best friend or something. You can also add photos and tags to each one of the contacts in Connections. So, you know, if somebody like say you're managing your wedding and you have the contact information for the person who baked your cake, you can have a picture of what you sent them that your cake's supposed to look like on there. Or you can have tags on there that say, these are wedding people. These are, I'm starting a business with these people or something. So it's just a way of adding extra information on top of your contacts app for people that you don't just have committed to memory.
Nice. So it kind of gives you a little bit of extra context around them when you're communicating. Like it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Cool. Yeah.
I want to install it. What's going on?
If you can. I didn't realize that it wasn't available for so many.
I know.
It installs on my Nexus 6P and my Moto X.
You're on a 6P.
Yeah, I'm on a 6P. Yeah. I don't know why it's doing it, but I tried to do it through the web interface of the Play Store. Maybe it would be different if I searched for it through the Play Store on my device. But yeah, very strange. Like, maybe it's just
I get the same thing. This app is incompatible with all your devices.
Connection.
Microsoft, man.
Microsoft, what's up, man?
That's so weird.
That is weird.
Like, I literally have it on my phone right now.
So. I believe you.
Have any of you ever said anything bad about Seattle?
Is it because it's geographic? No, I don't know. I don't know. But hopefully you can install it, and you should. It's called Connections Contact Notes by Microsoft Garage.
And also, if you go into the Google Play Store, they are responding to nearly every review.
Yeah.
Like, really good about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, my app is particularly good if you live in a place like the Bay Area where there is a decent amount of seismic activity, earthquakes, that sort of stuff.
Oh, I know what your app is.
It's created.
Got it. That was an easy one.
That was an easy one?
What we don't realize is that ever since she finished talking about Currency FX Pro, Florence has been shaming herself on Twitter about her apps.
It's true. I have, because I feel so terrible.
She's literally been like the equivalent of the monks who like hit themselves. That's what she's been doing on Twitter. All the while Eric was talking about his app.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Yeah. So Brian, I don't know if you can go to Florence's Twitter or not and show us her sad story.
Sorry, go on, Jason.
Well, this was an easy one, Flo. It's called My Shake, and it's actually created by the University of California, Berkeley. And what it does, it's kind of interesting. You can see down here, it's tapping into the accelerometer data on your device. So if I shake my phone, right, you'll see a little bit of disturbance down there. So what it's basically doing, what they're trying to achieve with this, is if enough people in a limited geographical location are running this app, and it runs in the background, tracking the accelerometer data. If enough people are using it, they can collect data around earthquakes, potentially, if a seismic event happens. They're basically pulling information from, hopefully, more and more devices. And that, in turn, can help with research, can help them potentially, hopefully, eventually, forecast, when an earthquake is going to happen, with as much warning as possible, and this is just a way of kind of adding numbers to their research capabilities. You can kind of see as you tap around where some seismic events are happening. It does kind of include a little bit of a walkthrough as far as safety tips and stuff if ever you're in an earthquake. So maybe something to kind of read through and know. It'll give you your current sensor readings, and you can kind of see all that a little bit larger there, the x-axis, the y-axis, and the z-axis. So, and the thought, of course, being is that, like, if I was to set down this phone and then suddenly something happens, that's actual, data when that phone shakes. And if it's timed around an event, that's probably very, very useful to them. These are past dates, 1983 Coalinga earthquake, 1857 Fort Tejon earthquake. So this obviously goes far back into the past, but you can kind of see the current status. I'll go ahead and zoom out here, and we can see just how much this world shakes while we're just kind of doing our thing.
Yeah, especially in our region.
Oh, yeah, totally. There you go.
I like how there's like seismic activity in middle America. I actually wasn't aware that earthquakes.
There's a huge fault right there.
Look at that.
Yeah.
My bad.
Russia
has seismic activity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool.
It's not a fault, but let's say where two plates hit up, the middle of the country gets some size. Not as dramatic as what we get out on the West Coast, but they definitely do happen.
So if you zoom in, Jason, I'm actually very curious what's it look like in the Bay Area right now?
It's pretty calm.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see here. So
actually, there was just an earthquake that they said a couple
So wow. I could tap on the Pachinko earthquake, and it's going to take me through to earthquake.usgs.gov, and I can find out, you know, kind of when that happened, a little bit more of the information, how strong it was in the surrounding areas and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good way to kind of track
earthquake activity. Yeah, they have like full reports.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is fascinating.
Interesting fact, in the 8 years that I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, the strongest earthquake I felt was in Brooklyn.
Huh.
Remember 5 years ago?
So oh, there was my that, gosh.
That earthquake,
that earthquake
that hit Washington, D.C. and New York? Yeah. That I, we yeah. were actually, we were filming
were
video. I was filming video for the iFanboy show, and the camera caught us. Like, we're in the middle of the show, and the camera stayed still.
Oh,
but, like, you see the stuff shaking, and we all, like, stop and look around. And it's, wow. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So, oh, that's scary.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, ooh. Just like that. Yep. So there you go. It's called My Shake, and, you know, it runs in the background. So if you want to kind of pitch in and help on research, potentially, you
can it's let like it SETI at home, but for...
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It kind of is like that.
Cool.
Kind of puts your phone to use when you're not using it. For the good of mankind. I don't know. There you go. It's called My Shake.
For the good of mankind.
For the good of research. It's in the name of science. So you should vote for your favorite app this week. And it's a different URL this week because apparently AAAPoll.com.
Having some difficulties.
Is, we need to figure out how we can get control over it so we can pay the bill and have it. have the redirection work. But so for this week, it's bit.ly/AAA253. bit.ly/AAA253. You can place your vote. Is it MyShake, Telegram, Currency FX Pro, or Connections, Contact Notes? Let everybody know what you think is the best app this week, and we will check in on it next week and see which one wins. Telegram. Kind of a lead right out of the gate. Don't be disheartened, Eric. It's okay. Early returns never mean much in the grand scheme of things. You're all right.
Oh, good.
You're going to be okay.
Now I can sleep tonight.
Yes, I know.
Well, you can sleep. I have to come back next time.
Eric, it's a pleasure having you on once again. Really love having you on the show. Tell people a little bit about kind of what you're working on, where people can follow your work online, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I write for Lifehacker. We'll be covering Mobile World Congress next week as well, just remotely. So have fun in Barcelona. You can also find me on Laura Ravenscraft on Twitter and pretty much nowhere else. I don't usually accept any requests on Facebook.
Fair enough.
I do have Instagram now. There we go. Lord Ravenscraft on Instagram.
Excellent. You can't let that awesome handle go unused in at least a couple places.
Really your last name? That's amazing.
It really is, yeah.
That's amazing.
I can't believe it either.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You bet. What about you, Ron?
Me? All right. So you can go to about.me/RonXO where you can follow me on Google+, on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. Actually, I had some great interaction on Google+, as well as Facebook and Twitter today. I was a little bored. I was thinking about music and the albums that define bands. So I asked people, here's a game. Pick a favorite band. What one album represents it? Go.
Oh, okay.
And so I've already gotten almost 50 responses on Google+. So go to my Google+ page and chime in there. I've got a ton of responses on Facebook and on Twitter. It's been fun. I like seeing what people are into. But that's just a little funness. But if you like the crap that comes out of my mouth, you can listen to my other podcasts. Specifically go to ifanboy.com where you can listen to our weekly comic book discussion there, and you can hear us talking about Deadpool, the movie that just came out last weekend and made $1 billion, $150 million in the box office.
Wow.
Yeah, so
strong
me and Connor from iFanboy talked about the movie for a good half an hour and analyzed it, broke it down. So if you need a little more Deadpool loving, you can go to ifanboy.com, check it out. Also check out goodfellowsminute.com where we are in the home stretch of discussing the movie Goodfellas minute by minute. So
yeah, there you go. You can do it. You can do it.
We're so close. We've got 6 recording sessions left.
Wow.
That's it.
We're so close.
I kind of can't believe it.
Yeah, minute 107 came out today. We got 146 is the end. So,
and no shortage of things to talk about on each minute.
Oh, no. In fact, they're running long. Like, we just recorded last night. Each episode was like almost a half an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, 'cause we had a guest on last night.
Based on a minute of movie.
Yeah, we had a guest on last night who's going to be on next week. I think the episodes will be out, but who actually knew and was friends with Henry Hill. Like the real life area. So like we got a lot of perspective.
Oh, that's cool. That's so awesome. Yeah. Right on. Good stuff. Yep. Flo, so you're going to be busy this next week.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to cover all the smartphone launches in Barcelona this week. So be sure to follow me at greenbot.com, pcworld.com, and at my Twitter handle, OhThatFlow. I'm just going to be working for the next 10 days.
Yeah.
So there's plenty to see, but and plenty of ham to eat.
We know you can do it, Flo.
I will try my best to bring you guys back some illicit ham.
Excellent.
Illicit ham.
Right. And I'm bummed I couldn't see you guys in person before leaving.
I'm bummed I didn't see that phone that you got there.
I know.
But it's okay.
Yeah. No worries.
But I'm looking forward to hearing your experience with it, though, because I really value your opinion, Ron.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited. So,
have fun in Barcelona, Flo. We'll miss you next week. We'll see you the week after. Bye. What about you, Brian?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo, and I also do Know How with Padre every Thursday. But before I go, this just in, Jason.
Breaking news?
The llama. We figured out what the llama painted. Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I'm very curious, Brian. I'm so curious. Oh.
Wow.
A little erotic.
That's an interesting painting, llama. Is that what you saw in the box?
It's very detailed.
Yeah, it's drawn from a photograph, I hear.
That's inspired by the hot tub piano machine.
That's photorealistic.
That looks very...
Jason, why don't you wear jewelry more often? It really suits you.
I know I'm awesome looking in just this picture. It's just I can't unleash that photo onto too many people.
Just when I purged that image from my brain and forgot about it, it comes back and haunts you.
I almost went with this image. So.
Oh, stop.
I'm happy you had a couple of really great choices to pick from.
I'm really
Brian.
Kind of disturbed that he has like a library of disturbing photos of all of us just waiting.
Yeah.
Brian's good like that. He's a professional.
Wait, did Brian have one of me?
Oh, you don't want to know, Flo.
Oh, no.
He's going to save it for when when it's appropriate.
Exactly.
Oh, can't wait for that. Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate it.
What about you, Jason?
About.me/JasonHowell, yellowgoldmusic.com. Don't forget, we have newsletters. What is it? twit.tv/newsletter is what I'm typing into the URL bar.
Every Sunday, shows up in your mailbox.
Yeah, it shows up in your mailbox. That's what newsletters do. You sign up for it with your email address, and then we send you kind of the things that are happening for the week here at Twit. And you know. And what's better than not knowing? Knowing. So go to twit.tv/newsletter.
Right? If you got the newsletter, you would have known that I was on the screensavers this past Saturday.
That's
so you can go
these
to
are the things that you would know.
That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Had a good time.
So the fact that you missed it, you should feel ashamed of yourself.
But
now
you can
go to twit.tv/newsletter, and you'll know going forward.
You can rectify it.
Yes,
by
you can change.
Subscribing.
Yeah. You can change. You have the power. Yeah. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, won't you? 347-SHOW-AAA, and we will play your voice on the air. Everyone's going to hear your voice. Don't let that make you nervous. It's okay. Email and video mail at AAA@twit.tv. We have a Twitter account. We're @AndroidShow. We have a subreddit. It's twitaaa.reddit.com, where you can post news stories you like, and we'll check in on that. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. Our episodes are on YouTube. They're on iTunes. They're all over the map. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Woo!